This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell. Happy Valentine's Day. How does romance survive in this day of tweets, texts, and Facebook posts? Communication and etiquette expert Lisa Marie Lucioni shares some insight into love in the digital age a bit later. Also on the way, Jean Momluft, the director of the Momluft Dance Company, talks about modern dance and the company's presentation next weekend at the Aronoff of a new piece titled Shift. First, the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees. Well, not so much about the birds, but those flowers and trees do benefit from the honeybees. How are bees important to our environment and our food supply? Bees and beekeeping. Questions or comments? Well, you can call us at 513-419-7100. Email talk at wvxu.org. You can post on Facebook or you can tweet us. In the studio with me to talk about bees and beekeeping are Ray Babcock, the president of the Southwestern Ohio Beekeepers Association, Liz Tilton, owner of the Two Honeybees Company, and Sandra Murphy, a beekeeper who teaches beekeeping classes. They're all here to open up this discussion. Thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Well, I want to ask right at the beginning to have each or one of you describe how bees are important to the environment and why bees are important to our environment.
Liz, you want to take that?
Well, bees are our pollinators. They pollinate much of the food that we eat. They pollinate our flowers, so they're important for the aesthetics in our lives. And they provide us with honey and with beeswax and with propolis, which is used in many different ways now, pharmaceutically and medicinally. So for me, they also provide a lot of pleasure in my life. So for me, that's why they're important.
Well, as I've looked into bees and beekeeping, I really hear and see a passion for beekeeping and everyone who's involved. Each of you, but why do you love beekeeping? I'll start with you, Sandra.
Oh, it's really a fascinating hobby or a teaching tool for children. The bees all a very social organization, and they each have a separate duties to do in the hive, an interesting life cycle. And again, they are our pollinators, and they do keep us alive. About 30% of our food is pollinated by bees or other pollinators. There are some other pollinators. Things like moths and different kinds of bees and even hummingbirds. But the ones that are in a hive are the ones that we can nurture and manage for ourselves.
Ray, your fascination with beekeeping.
I actually started with my son, Andy, who thought he'd like to have bees, wanted to keep them in his bedroom with his older brother. His older brother said that's not going to happen. And so we decided we had some bees out in the backyard. And we have Andy's backyard bees is our way of supporting it. I just love working with the bees. Mm-hmm. It's working with nature, seeing how nature really plays a big part. And we kind of worry about the bees, getting them through the winter. I just checked on them yesterday. Most of them are still alive. And we have concerns just to get them for the next couple of months until the warm weather hits and we get our natural forage is available again, the pollens and the sugars and getting them in. So it's kind of fun working with nature, and I learn a lot, and each time I open the hive, if I didn't learn something, I wasn't trying very hard.
Well, and Liz, I'll ask you, because you were called, where did I see in that soapbox, Dr. Quinn, medicine woman of bees, so yeah. I know you're into it. Why do you have a passion for bees and beekeeping?
Well, I think I caught the passion when I tasted local honey. There were two people who fed me honey from their bees. And I was just struck by that. And then one February, it was cold and dark, and I was bored. And I thought, I need bees. And there was just something that drew me into keeping bees. And I think it was the honey that brings many of us mm-hmm. to this. At first, it starts off as a hobby. But then it's more than honey that keeps us interested. It's the actual insect and their cycle, and then we become more and more and more aware of our ecosystem, the ecosystem that supports those bees and us.
So it really ties us into the environment and makes us realize our place in the environment,
more
too.
Than I ever expected, Mark.
Well, what kind of skill set makes for a good beekeeper, in your humble opinions?
None.
No.
None?
No. Such a variety. No. If you meet a beekeeper, there's no actual description of what a typical beekeeper is. We're all different.
Yeah, we have, 165 members in SWOBA, and we got a gamut of everything. And I can't come up with any one particular group that is a beekeeper, and they all started for many different reasons. But once they get into it, you're hooked. There's something about it. It's just nature and your chance to be a part of it.
I think I would say that curiosity is a characteristic that we all share. But there's no special knowledge. There's no special skill. There's no special personality. There's almost no special home environment. You can keep bees on property that's not even your own. You can keep bees if you have a fire escape and over the Rhine. You can keep bees if you have 26 acres of lush woods and lawn in Indian Hill. I mean, there's just nothing that keeps a person from keeping bees.
That's fascinating because, I was sharing a couple of stories before we went on the air. I know a retired chemistry professor, college chemistry professor who keeps bees in the mountains of North Carolina. I know a young girl in her 20s who keeps bees out on a farm in Claremont County, and someone who lives in Fort Thomas and keeps them in their backyard. So it really is a wide range of personalities. And it's been interesting. Everyone all shares the passion for keeping the bees they're involved.
Mm-hmm. And keeping. And one thing, too, that old-timers tell us is that in the World War II, when sugar was a little harder to come by, older people kept a lot of bees for the sugar. And then some interest was lost in the 50s and 60s. And now when you go to beekeepers meetings, you'll see older people in their maybe 70s or 80s and a lot of young people getting into it. Just fascinating.
We're talking bees and beekeeping on Cincinnati Edition here on 91.7 WVXU. You can call and ask a question or talk about your beekeeping at 513-419-7100. You can find also at WVXU.org some links to beekeeping classes at Gorman Heritage Farm. Sandra teaches some of those. And you can also learn more about SWOBA, the Southwestern Ohio Beekeepers Association. That's at WVXU.org. I wanted to ask if, and I expressed to you that I want to start keeping bees. How do you get started? I mean, what kind of materials and supplies do you need to help you get started in keeping bees?
Well, this is the time you want to get started because come April, when the weather's changing and the bees are ready to fly, this is when you need to be ready. Typically, people order their supplies, their beehives during the wintertime. You need to build them, get them ready, paint them if you're going to paint them, and get them situated. Because usually about the beginning of April, Sandra, you're getting your bees April 6th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, beginning of April through May is when people get their bees and want to put them into the hives. So start reading now, start getting your equipment now, assemble them, and be ready for the first week of April.
So this all kind of follows a gardening type of calendar, because this is about the time of year you're getting seed catalogs and thinking about your garden. Yeah. But beekeeping still goes year-round, even when there's snow on the ground.
And there's something to do most of the months, whether it's actively working them or getting ready or wishing you were working with them.
Yes. You know, bees usually work a season ahead.
Oh, really?
Yes. So in the winter, you get ready for the bees to begin. The bees begin foraging. In Ohio, the first flower that provides both nectar and pollen for the bees, which is a key flower, is the dandelion. So the minute the dandelions are blooming, and last year I think it was in March.
It was.
That the first dandelions began to bloom. That's when the bees begin bringing in nectar and pollen and raising brood. And so you've got to be ready to get going by March. Beekeepers need to be on their toes by March and April.
I have to have things ready.
I wanted to add something to what Ray was saying. I encourage, if you're ready to get bees this year, Mark, start reading now. And then talk to beekeepers because there are several different ways to begin keeping bees. And if you start out one way, you get sort of locked into that way. So talk to people, ask how they recommend what kind of hives you keep your bees in, you have to begin developing a beekeeping philosophy even before you get your bees, in my opinion. And so now's the time to just begin to gather information about that.
Begin to build your foundation for those those hives.
But you do a lot of mentoring.
I do.
And that's one of the things that SWOBA likes to help people find a mentor to help them.
I mean, you can find, as I said, all that information about the Southwestern Ohio Beekeepers Association and other beekeeping activities on our website, wvxu.org. To the phones, to Tim in Batavia. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition, Tim.
Thank you. Thank you very much. What you seem to be addressing so far on the show have been honeybees, which aren't native to the United States. And I was wondering if your guests had any expertise or experience with native bees, like mason bees or leafcutter bees, which don't make honey, but they also don't sting, and they're are native to our environment here and native to the flowers and fauna that we have here.
Well, thanks for your question, Tim. And I will ask, so we're talking honeybees here, and you know, what kind of bees? People have different perception of bees. You get the big fat bumblebees that go around, but you're talking about a specific type of bee. Can you expand on what Tim's asking?
I don't have a lot of experience with the some of the other bees that you can keep. The mason bees you can keep and some of the other ones. But the bumblebee is one of the bigger ones in this area. And there's, at least in the gardens that I work with, is at least a half a dozen bees that I see at any one time. In some cases, the honeybee is the least represented one there. And so these are important ones. The all of the bees play an important part in. Although we love our honeybees, we do know that the other ones play an important part also. But I would say I don't know of anyone that is keeping anything around here. Do you ladies?
I don't.
No.
So keeping the bees, the honeybees, you're mainly doing it for both enjoying the process but also harvesting the honey. Would that be correct?
Yeah, and the fact that The wild bees don't seem to be around as much, and it's kind of fun thinking that my keeping the bees adds to the population in the area. And but it's still very selfish. I just love working with them, and it's a very calming influence working with all those girls and boys, mostly the girls that do all the work in the hive.
And the social structure, too, in a hive. Each one of the bees in a hive has a specific job. And as they go through their life cycle, they move on to more and more complicated jobs until they die. And that's what's really fascinating, I think, when you're teaching children.
All right. Thank you, Tim. Jalen from Northside has a question I think might be right up your alley here, Liz. Hi, Jalen. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you. Hello to all of you. I have nuisance bees. I don't know if they're honeybees, but I have three hives that have set up around the perimeter of my house, as well as a wasp nest that's inside somewhere. I get wasps that kind of drop into the house periodically. And I wanted to know before I try to have them, I know I shouldn't kill them, but I need to know what to do about them. They swarm, and they're just, it's like the Midway airport. They're just hot.
Well, I point to you, Liz, because I know that sometimes you help find a new home for those nuisance bees.
I do. I one of my favorite things to do is to remove bees from structures. I get a lot of calls from people who have beehives in their homes, and they don't want to kill the bees because they know that the bees are in trouble, and there's no need to kill them. So we want to avoid poisons, and we want to avoid pesticides, and we can remove those bees. So I couldn't understand from the caller if the bees she has are in her home or not, but
No. The three hives are outside. They are right up against my house on the foundation.
Those are probably not honeybees. My feeling is if they're in the ground and they're coming up from the ground, or they're low in the mortar or something like that, those are probably yellow jackets. They're almost never honeybees when they come from the ground like that, or from a perimeter around the house, around your mulch. So those are yellow jackets, and nobody really wants to mess with yellow jackets.
Yeah, we don't play with them.
As sweet as honeybees are, yellow jackets are very
the opposite side
very
of
mean.
Things.
So
I should just hire a professional to come and
yes,
get them.
Yes, you should.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Well, thank you so much for your time. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jalen. 513-419-7100, talking honeybees and beekeeping here on Cincinnati Edition on this Friday afternoon. Sandy from Kennedy Heights is on the line next. Sandy, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Yes, I would like to attract honeybees by planting various types of flowers.
Awesome.
In vases throughout my yard. I don't want to have any beehives or anything like that, but I would like to attract the bees. So what would they recommend my planting?
You know, this goes much as you would attract birds with planting. You know, is there a preference when it comes to honeybees, when
can
it comes to the flowers?
Can I use this just to launch into just a little... okay, I won't launch into a big thing, but I want to say that
a big sermon, but
many of the bees that we keep in the suburbs are starving, literally, after the trees leaf out in the spring. There is nothing in suburban Cincinnati, Ohio to keep those bees alive because there's nothing that provides those bees with nectar and pollen. Because why? We use pesticides on our lawns. We eradicate clover and we eradicate dandelion. We eradicate these native Ohio prairie flowers that bloom. So I would encourage the call. Thank you, caller. If everyone had this idea, our bees would be in much better state. I can't tell you specifically what to plant. Wildflowers are awesome. There is a company, or there are a lot of companies, but one I like is called Ohio Prairie Nursery, and they provide wildflower mixes, and they're going to begin providing a specific mix that draws honeybees. So wildflowers are awesome. Coneflowers, any perennial flowers that are native to Ohio, asters, goldenrod, oh gosh, the list goes on and on. But you are the solution. This caller is the solution to the decline of honeybees, at least in suburban Cincinnati.
I would add herbs to that,
yes,
like
herbs.
Borage mm-hmm. and lavender and mm-hmm. things like that are important for bees, too.
Well, I
have mint and stuff like that. And
yes,
mint is fine.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your call, and we will thank you, Sandy. We'll see if we can find a good list of flowers to help you out with that. And we had someone who asked a question via email. How dangerous is beekeeping? Getting stung? You know, do you worry about passerbys disturbing the hive? Kids that are playing? Dogs? You know, is that a concern? How dangerous is beekeeping?
You need to be a good beekeeper. It's important where you locate your hive should be socially acceptable. Your neighbors should be in on your plan if you have a tight neighborhood. Bees pretty much want to be left alone, and as long as you're not messing with them and irritating them, bees can be kept in so many places safely. If you're working with the bees, you have equipment that you wear, and you just work with them slowly, carefully. And if you work well with them, they usually play well with you. You will get stung, though. That is a part of it. And it's an important part. It's nature teaching you to be maybe even a little more careful.
I think it's a really cool part of beekeeping is getting stung. I heard once someone say if you didn't get stung, it would be like keeping flies in a box. And what fun is that?
So. Okay. From Chris, another email. Where does one buy bees to start a hive?
There are several places. Several people raise bees for sale. Right now, we're seeing an interest in some beekeepers in Ohio developing hives for sale. But if you go on the SWOBA website, you'll find a list of places to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Ray?
Yes,
okay.
There's at least five or six yeah. listed that most of them, many of them come from the South, from Georgia, and some come from California. There's unfortunately not enough yet local Ohio honeybees. We are hoping to change that. I think we are changing that. We prefer bees that are acclimated to our part of the world instead of the Southern Belles who like the nice warm weather. We're slowly trying to change it to make this a more suitable location, like with the flowers, getting bees acclimated to our area. So there's a lot of different areas, but yes, from the website, we can at least get you started as to where you get them. And again, mostly from the South right now.
And you can find a link to the Southwestern Ohio Beekeepers Association at WVXU.org. Todd from Clifton, welcome to Cincinnati Edition. You have a question?
Well, not a question, just a comment. I wanted to say hello to Ray, first of all. He was the first beekeeper that I ever met. And I'm a second-year beekeeper now. And with this winter, my first two hives from last year didn't make it, but I changed breeds to Carniolans, mm-hmm. which do a little bit better in the winter. And I'm happy to say that the last warm day we had, I had both of my hives flying.
Awesome.
And I have Ray to thank for a lot of that. I gave him a couple calls in the middle of last winter, all worried, and he gave me a lot of good advice. So I wanted to thank him for that.
Okay. Well,
my pleasure.
Well, thank you, Todd. I appreciate that. So you learn as you go along. And you mentioned before mentoring, and I really have found everyone I ask that beekeepers are very forthcoming and sharing mm-hmm. information with new beekeepers.
Oh, we love it. It's mm-hmm. Doing it alone, it's fun. But when you can bring someone new into it, that brings all the joy to it. And to see them when they get into it and they get over their initial fear. And I remember my initial fear, and it's truly a pleasure to work with them and to get other people, just like we're going to get you into it. And
yes.
it's just wonderful.
Mark from Clifton with a question about placing your beehives. Mark, you're on the air.
Thank you for having me. Actually, my question is, since I live in the city limits and in close proximity to other neighbors, what might I face in terms of legal issues or liabilities that my neighbors would have against me for keeping bees? And I will take my comment off the air.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mark. And that would be a question. Well, I think you already addressed it, Ray, when you said a neighborly location would be good.
You want to be a responsible beekeeper.
Yes.
But a lot of different places have zoning laws. Some allow it, some do not allow it. And it is important to check those rules. And each town may be different, and each county could be different. So it is important to check that.
Well, Mark was calling from Clifton. Do you know about how Cincinnati stands? And I made mention of someone who's keeping him in Fort Thomas, and I hope I don't get him in trouble if he's doing something illegal. Do you know what Cincinnati's?
I don't know the law for the city of Cincinnati. I know a lot of people keep bees in Clifton mm-hmm. and in Northside and in Pleasant Ridge and in Oakley and in
and right downtown on top of the roofs of buildings.
Oh, yeah, right on top of the hotels, sure. Right. And over the Rhine. And usually, you know, there are bees everywhere. Anyway, even if you're not keeping them in the little boxes, they live in our trees and they live in our homes. We're just not aware of them because they're not a problem. Sometimes when people see these stacks of white boxes, they think that bees are going to be a problem, but it's the perception of bees as a problem. Honeybees do not go around stinging people. So I even suggest, as far as urban beekeeping goes, that people consider a special type of hive because it's low profile, it contains fewer bees, and it's a pleasure to work with. It's called a top bar hive. It's a vertical hive rather than a horizontal hive. And usually, if you can keep your neighbors from visually being alarmed by what they see, you don't have a problem. Bees, I've never heard of my bees stinging anyone.
Well, you of course, we mentioned the honey, you mentioned beeswax and propolis. What are the health benefits of bee products? Can any of you address, you know, how are there health benefits beyond that honey is mighty tasty?
We have never found any research that supports it, but a lot of people uh-huh. believe that eating local honey contains pollen that might put up a defense against allergies. I haven't heard of any research, and we've looked quite often at trying to find some definitive proof. And could be people are doing that research now. We just haven't found it. But that's not to say folklore doesn't come true sometimes.
Well, it seems like honey, as I was doing research for this interview, honey is an amazing substance that these bees are producing. I mean, just the properties it contains beyond just the sweetness and the sugars.
Oh, I mean, I've heard people say that it heals wounds.
Yeah, that I've heard. Yeah,
Manuka honey especially has medicinal properties.
To me, though, beekeeping is good for your health.
Absolutely.
Because it calms you down. If you go into a beehive all anxious and riled up, you're going to get stung because the bees will sense and match your energy. So beekeeping requires us to get centered and calm and quiet, and it's fascinating, and it adds luster to our lives. It just gives us the most – it's just so pleasurable that that is good for our health. In addition to products of the hive, just the action, the activity of taking care of a box of bees is fascinating. Mm-hmm.
And being outside in nature, that's always nice too. Well, I'm sorry that we're out of time. We have a number of other questions. We'll have to have you back on Cincinnati Edition to talk more.
We'd like that.
If you want to continue the conversation online, feel free to do so on our Facebook page or on Twitter. You can find us at 917WVXU on Twitter if you have questions we may try to answer. I've been speaking with Liz Tilton, owner of the Two Honeybees Company, beekeeper Sandra Murphy, and Ray Babcock, president of the Southwestern Ohio Beekeepers Association. You can find links and more information about bees and beekeeping as well as information on the class at the Gorman Heritage Farm that Sandra will be teaching February 22nd at WVXU.org. Thank you all again for being here today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Now, what messages are you communicating to your Valentine? How are you communicating those messages? Love in the Digital Age, coming up on Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.